Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am thrilled because tonight we will be starting a new study from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this study will provide how Moses rehearses the laws of God to the Israelites. 613 laws were established for Israel to keep by God. And we will look at all the essential rules and regulations that Israel is under, even to this very day. Now, I want to remind you that all lessons and instructions, as before, are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I always do, too, again, I highly suggest, my precious brothers and sisters, so that boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking notes, that you open your Bible devices, your laptops, Bible apps, tablets, and regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers and comments or inquiries if you have any. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I want to personally take this time again to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. So thank you so much. In fact, there was a comment made from one of our listeners about last week's show, instruction number 30 from the book of Romans about Paul not writing the book of Romans. Tertius wrote the book of Romans for Paul, literally, but Paul dictated while he was writing it. And that's what I want to make clear. Even though Paul didn't literally write it, it was dictated by Paul. Now, as our theme song suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through the Isaiah the prophet, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up against you in the judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. So the promise is to the servants of the Lord as a heritage that no weapon shall be against thee. God said through King David, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's in Psalms 119, verse 165. Again, the promise is that you will have great peace if you love the law of God and you will offend any. God again said through Moses, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. So again, if you keep the commandments of God, he will put you high above all the other nations of the earth. The question again for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we start the lesson, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code. And the only way to break the code is through Bible study and learning. Now, to the study. We're going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're going to read several verses. Now, I'll explain as I'm reading the verses which ones to go to. But it's Deuteronomy chapter 1. And this is the instruction that we're looking at. There are approximately 32 instructions in this study. The instruction for Deuteronomy chapter 1 is, what must we do this side of the Jordan River? Now, this is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters, because this side of the Jordan River is meaning to us this side of eternity. Now, this is what Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 1 about what we must do this side of the Jordan River. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Topel, and Laban and Hazareth and Dezahab. Now, that's telling us, before they went over into the land of milk and butter and honey, they had to do something special. And this is what verse 5 tells us about that. On this side, Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, we're going to go to verse 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to give unto them and to their seeds after them. So to begin with, God is saying he's going to send them over Jordan, and they must possess the land. We're going to go to verse 13. It says, take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. So again, Moses is telling Israel that they are to divide the responsibility. Verse 14, and ye shall answer me, and the things which thou hast spoken is good for us to do. And they acknowledge that they will follow what God or Moses is telling them to do this side of the Jordan. Now we're going to conclude with verse 17 and 18, and this is what those verses say. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the faith of God, for the judgments is God, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. So Israel is being told that those men that and women that would be over them, they are the ones that they are supposed to listen to. And if they cannot get an answer that's adequate, then they come to Moses. Verse 18 says, and I command you at that time all these things which ye should do. So that is what was supposed to have been done before they get over into the land of milk and honey. Now, what we're going to do is go to our complement, and we're going to see what Jesus said concerning this that connects the dot. And if the break comes into play, mark your calendar, mark your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And that's where we're going to see what Jesus tells us to do today. I'll read it. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is what Jesus is telling us this side of eternity, that we are supposed to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest shall be added unto us. And this is what the instruction should mean spiritually to us in our lives. It should mean before we pass over from our physical life and death to our spiritual life, we must obey the laws of God, the words of Jesus Christ, and the instructions of the Spirit to the churches. Now we'll continue after the break.
When we're laying on our deathbed, you're not going to worry about how much money you had, how much power you had, how much prestige. You're going to see that that was all game, that that was all an illusion. The only thing that's going to matter is the impact you had on other people's lives.
We are all on a separate journey. But the beautiful thing about our life here on this earth is at my funeral, they ain't going to talk about my success. They're going to talk about who Nick was and how Nick lived and how Nick loved and encouraged.
Success is incredibly important, but even more important than success, it's having an impact. It's knowing you haven't walked the planet in vain. It's knowing that because you've been here, you've blessed lives, you've developed people, and you have made the world a better place.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart. And all that will be left of you is what was in your heart.
Life is a mirror. And life gives us not what we want. Life gives us who we are. When you were born, you cried while the world rejoiced. Live your life in such a way that when you die, the world cries while you rejoice.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Here we go again. Quick reminder, if you've got any questions out there, anyone, you go to the chat room and get them to me or through the other means that we have available. All right, we're going to start now on instruction number 2, and we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 4 through 9 is going to be the reading. And what we're going to take from this text, this is the instruction: only possess that which I tell you. This is what God told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 4 through 9. This is what it says: And command thou the people, saying, Ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves thereof. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, nor such much as a foot breadth, but I will, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Now you remember Esau was Jacob's brother, and he also was in favor with God. Verse 6 says, Ye shall buy meat of them for money, that ye may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for money, that ye may drink. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. So Moses is reiterating or rehearsing for the Israelites that God, if you obey God, which he told them that he would take care of them, that they would not fail from being successful. And that's why he told them, now you do not take from Esau. Verse 8 says, and when we passed from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plains from Elath and from Ezonagabah, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have heir unto the children of Lot for a possession. And again, the Moabites were the sons or the lineage of Lot, and Lot was the nephew of Abraham. So Abraham, again, so they found favor with God, so Israel was not supposed to mess with them either. Now we're going to go and conclude with verse 37, and it's going to even give them more instruction. Verse 37 says, only unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor unto any place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. Now Ammon was the third, all right? And the lineage of Lot, his daughter had the Moabites, and his other daughter had the Ammonites. So you can see that the possession, they were not supposed to deal with these particular people because they were kin. Now let's go to our Bible and our complement, the New Testament, and see what Luke chapter 21, verse 19 tells us about this, connecting the dot. Luke chapter 21, verse 19. And this is what Jesus said for us today to possess. Jesus says, in your patience, possess ye your souls, is the most important element of the possession today, is our souls, this side of eternity. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that in all that we might have, your soul is the most important to God. That is what is being illustrated here. And that's the instruction that we should be taking from this. Only possess that which I tell you. Jesus says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Okay, if you have any questions, get them to me. We're going to go to instruction number 3. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 through 27. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 through 27. And we're going to this instruction from the text. Disobedience to God causes us to lose out. That's what we want to look at as we read what Moses told Israel about if you are disobedient to God. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23 through 27 says, and I brought the Lord at this time saying, and I besought the Lord at this time saying, O Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy work and according to thy might? I pray thee, this is Moses talking, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the mountain of Pisgah, and lift up thy eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thy eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now this is what happens when you disobey God. Moses was not allowed to go over into the land of milk and butter and honey with the Israelites. Now we're going to go to our complement, the New Testament, and we're going to see what's impacting us. This is connecting the dots. If we're disobedient to God, we're going to go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to look at Revelations chapter 21, verse 7 and verse 8. Revelations chapter 21, verse 7 and verse 8. And this is what it's telling us today, what we should be sure that we don't do against God if we don't want to lose out on our salvation. This is what verse 7 says. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That's obedience. Now, the next verse tells us, but the fearful, those who do not fear God, and the unbelieving, those who do not have faith, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you disobey God, this is what is going to be your end result, the second death. And remember, when we went through the book of Revelations, we found out that there were two deaths that we are exposed to. One is the physical death that we can't get out of. The other is the spiritual death, which we can get out of. But if you do not adhere to God's laws, you will lose out. That's the instruction. This is the instruction that it should mean to us spiritually, that if we are not repentive and faithful, we will lose out. And that is significant because of our condition. Christ ensured through our redemption that we would have repentance and faithfulness that would get us through this experience we're having this side of eternity. But remember what happened to Moses. Moses, he struck the rock in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, and in Numbers chapter 20, verse 8, he spoke to the rock, and that was what was his disobedience. God told him not to do that or to only speak to the rock, and he struck the rock twice. And so that is the reason Moses did not go over. Breakdown.
Empty. This is what the devil wants women to feel. Sadness, that they will not be loved. Loneliness, that they will not feel safe. Betrayed, so that their hearts will harden into stone. The devil knows that women were created to be powerful. He is afraid of what an anointed woman in faith is capable of. He knows the truth. Women, rise up. Proverbs 31:25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Proverbs 31:10. She is worth far more than rubies. Psalm 46:5. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Colossians 2:10. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Proverbs 31:17. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. 1 Timothy 3:11. In the same way, women are worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperament and trustworthy in everything. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Proverbs 3:15 and 16. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Yes. Let us now go to instruction number 4. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. And this is the instruction that we're going to take from the text we're going to be reading. Keeping the law of God is our wisdom, our knowledge, and our understanding. That is the instruction that we're going to take from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. And this is what the text says. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keeping therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation and is wise and knowledgeable and understanding people about God. That is what Israel was told by Moses, that is, and my brothers and sisters, that is our wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Okay? Now we're going to go to our compliment and see how the New Testament gives us more of an understanding of this, connecting that dot, meaning that we're going to go to James chapter 3, verse 13 and 17, and we're going to find out the significance of the wisdom of God compared to the other wisdoms that are in the world. In fact, what we're going to do, we're going to divide the two wisdoms. You're going to see that there is a wisdom of God and a wisdom of man. So we're not talking about the wisdom of man. And this is how it's delineated in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. This is what James says. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. We're talking about of God, not of man. And now, more specifically, James gives us that instruction. But if we have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, sensuous, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So that is what James is telling us, that's not the wisdom that God gives us. It's the wisdom that man gives us, and that's what it causes, envy and strife and confusion and every evil work. Now, this is the wisdom of God that the people will respond to, knowing that, saying that you have a knowledge of God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and it's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is the wisdom that we're supposed to practice and apply for those who are around us to see that we are God's people. Now, this is the instruction that we should take from this spiritually and apply it meaningfully in our lives, that there is a distinct difference between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. And we have to know and practice that in order to be successful with God. So if you're involved in strife and envy and you are confused, God is not an author of confusion, but of peace. That's what Paul teaches us. Then that means that you are applying the wrong wisdom. Okay, let us go now to instruction number 5. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6. And we're going to be reading verse 6 in chapter 5 through verse 22. Now, the reason that we're going to take so much time with this is because the instruction that we're going to take from this is the Ten Commandments. That is very significant in our lives today, the Ten Commandments. And this is what Moses told are rehearsed with Israel about those Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 through 22, and this is what it says. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second commandment, thou shalt not make any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. That's very significant, my brothers and sisters. That means paintings and statues and relics that the world calls icons. We got to be careful of what they portray, because that is against God's second commandment. The third commandment, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting, listen, my brothers and sisters, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now you can understand, we've inherited from Adam and Eve the knowledge of good and evil. That is what this commandment is identifying. We're going to go to verse 12 now for the fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. This is significant because it says, in 6 days thou shalt do thy labor and do all thy work. But in the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. And it tells us what that contains. And it gives us the reason why. And we know that the Sabbath, because of the New Testament provisions, has been relegated from the Saturday to Sunday worship because of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And we'll get more into details on that in further books. But let us continue with this particular study. The fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God gave thee. And that's significant again, my brothers and sisters, the honor that we should have for our fathers and mothers. Then the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. The seventh commandment, neither shalt thou commit adultery. The eighth commandment, neither shalt thou steal. The ninth commandment, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then the tenth commandment, thou shalt not desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house. And we understand all of this is significant because that is what Israel was given by God. And he gave no release from those commandments. But today, of course, because of Jesus Christ's blood, we have, again, what we referred to in our last instruction, we have repentance and faithfulness, and that gets us through. Now, what we want to do is go to our compliment and see how Jesus puts this, or how the New Testament gives us more of what we're supposed to be doing and not stressing the compulsory or the mandatoryness, if you will, of those commandments that were given to Israel. We're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. And we may not get through this before the break, but what I'll tell you is we'll break them.
There's one thing that you need to hear above everything else. Jesus died for you. Despite everything you have done in your entire life, God loved you so much that he was willing to send his only son down to the earth to live a perfect life and then die for you. What sort of crazy love is this? That a perfect God would give up his perfect son so that people like you and me could be redeemed. He paid the ransom for our sins, providing us a way of escape from eternal punishment. He offered us a chance at life and life to the full. He offered us freedom in him. What did Jesus do? He did everything. I want you to fully understand what this means. I want you to comprehend the cost involved, the torment he suffered, and the separation from God he experienced. Once you understand what he really did, you begin to understand what you are worth to him. You begin to understand that his love is unsurpassable. It is extravagant, glorious, perfect. You might say, I don't deserve his love. Nobody does. That's why it's a gift. Despite our messed up lives, we get to receive God's love by accepting his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. A lot of people will tell you that there are many ways to be saved, but the truth is that salvation is only accomplished through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, he died, but then he also rose again so that you and I might be forgiven of our sins and made alive in him. You want to find salvation? Find Jesus. You want to know what it's like to be set free? Know Jesus. This is the deciding moment. This is your chance to truly begin to seek God. If you're thinking, I've tried before and it just doesn't seem real to me. I feel like God is just an idea sitting out there in space and he really doesn't have a lot of effect on my life. Listen to me. If you have not experienced the life-changing power of God, chances are you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life. God is real. Jesus is real. And if you believe in him, he will change your life. You won't be the same person anymore. You will be a new creation in him. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, we're on instruction number 5, and we just read the Ten Commandments out of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 through 22, and we can see what Israel was under mandatorily. And now we're going to go to our complement, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 3 through 12, and we're going to see how Jesus the Christ, because of grace, has relegated or mitigated the compulsiveness of the commandments that God gave us in the Old Testament to Israel. And with faithfulness and repentance in mind, we can get through what Jesus is declaring to us in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 3 through 12, and this is what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the poor in spirit are those that are not worldly minded to the extent that they lose focus on their godliness. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And these are those who, because of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, mourning because of what the world is doing to them, they can get through that because of the blessing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is so significant because Jesus told us he was meek and humble and lowly of spirit. And that is one of our salvation sureties, that the meek shall inherit the earth. Or there's so much the Bible teaches about being meek that is significant. And the blessing is that we shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we know that the righteousness of God is to believe in him. And when we get to the next, I believe, instruction after this, we'll see that it is also keeping God's commandments. So we will be filled with that blessing. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we know what the Bible teaches about that. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's why love is essential to our faithfulness. In fact, the Bible teaches that if you want to increase your faith, that you have to keep the commandments of God in love. You have to love the commandments of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And the essential peacemaking is between man and God. And Jesus the Christ is our moderator. And what he has done is become the chastisement of our peace is upon him. That's what the prophet Isaiah taught us. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute the prophets which were before you. We can see that there is a blessing in following the rules and the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you, we are still up under the significance of the Ten Commandments because Jesus taught us in the Gospels that except for the Sabbath commandment, those other commandments are very vital in our lives for applying them towards salvation. And that is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that these are essential to our salvation. So the Ten Commandments plus the Beatitudes that some people identify those, that sermon on the Mount, the blessed bees. That's what this instruction is telling us. Now we're going to go to the sixth instruction, and this is going, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And this is what the instruction we should be taking from the text. Our righteousness is to do God's commandments. I mentioned it in the explanation of the previous instruction that our faith and righteousness are, well, I didn't say they were synonymous, but they are exact, meaning that your faith is your belief in God, and that is your righteousness. That's what Abraham was told by God, that when he believed God, it was assigned to him as righteousness. So our righteousness also is to keep God's commandments. And this is what Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25 says to that effect. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he had commanded us. So Moses substantiated it to Israel that that is a part of being godly, is obeying God's commandments. Now, we're going to go to our supplement, and we're going to see how the new commandment ties this up and connects the dot. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And I'm sure that we're all familiar with this, and this is what the Hebrew writer says about this righteousness and this belief or this faith. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe, that's your righteousness and faith and belief tied together, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we can see that today it is critical that we have that righteousness, that faith in God. And this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must understand that faith and righteousness are synonymous, and they lead us to godliness. Both are the same. And so even though it wasn't referred to as faith in the Old Testament, and it's referred to as faith in the New Testament, they're both tied together as one. And that's what we must do to be successful in our time we spend this side of eternity trying to receive our salvation. Now we're going to go to instruction number 7, and we're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 4 is what we're going to be reading, and this is what the instruction that we're going to take from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 4. Outside the people of God, you must not take part. Now, this is how critical it was to Israel in those days. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 4 says this: when the Lord thy God shall bring thee out of into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Just to pause quickly and tell you, today we have so many different religious practices. We got for the big four or five: Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Shinto, Animism. Those are, you can relate those today to those people that Israel was supposed to not have relationship with. Verse 2 says, "And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." We're not under that commandment to destroy those individuals that are not practicing what we're practicing. And I'll get to the details after the break, if it comes to pass. But I'll go to verse 3 before the break comes in. It says, "Neither shalt thou make marriage." We'll continue after the break.
Trust God. Two single syllable words that you have heard forever, but you will discover as time passes how difficult they are to obey. Trust God. Of course, I have no way of knowing what the future holds for you. You may lose your home and everything in a fire. You may lose your spouse to an early disease, detected but not cured. You may lose your dreams, your hopes. You may lose a relationship that you have cultivated over the years. All losses are painful.
We prayed just as hard for my father when his health went downhill as we did for my mother. We quoted the same scriptures. We asked God to restore his health, to let him live. But my father went to be with the Lord. It didn't happen the way I wanted. There will always be unanswered questions. Why didn't my loved one make it? Why am I not getting better? Why did this person leave? Some things are not going to make sense, but God wouldn't have allowed it if he wasn't going to bring good out of it. You may not see it at the time, but God knows what he's doing. He has your best interest at heart. It's not random. It's a part of his plan.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. All your heart, all your ways. Trust. Trust.
But what about when things aren't going our way? Our prayers aren't being answered. The problem isn't turning around. We're not seeing favor. Too often, we get discouraged. Think, God, why aren't you doing something? You can see I'm being mistreated. My health isn't good. I worked hard, but I didn't get the promotion. We think when it changes, we'll be happy. When I meet the right person, when my health improves, when we have this baby, then we'll have a good attitude. That's conditional trust. God, if you meet my demands, if you answer my prayers the way I want, on my timetable, then I'll be my best. The problem with conditional trust is there will always be things we don't understand. Something that's not happening fast enough. It didn't work out the way we wanted. If I would have had conditional trust, I would have gotten upset, bitter. God, why didn't you answer my prayers? The truth is, God did answer my prayer. It just wasn't the way I wanted. Are you mature enough to accept God's answers, even though they're not what you were hoping for? God is a sovereign God. We're not going to understand everything that happens. Faith is trusting God when life doesn't make sense. God doesn't take us in a straight line. There'll be twists, turns, the disappointments, the loss, the bad breaks. They're all a part of his plan. But if you have conditional trust, You'll get discouraged and think, why is this happening? I'm going the wrong way. But God is still directing your steps. Trust Him when you don't understand. Trust Him even when it feels like you're going the wrong direction. Living worried, frustrated, disappointed, that takes our passion. It steals our joy, and it can keep us from seeing God's favor. And sometimes the closed doors, the disappointments, they are simply a test. God wants to see if we'll trust Him when we don't understand it, when life doesn't make sense. We have to show Him that we don't have to have the house to be happy. If we don't have the baby, we're not going to live bitter and sour. You're believing for your health to improve. But when you can say, if it doesn't get better, God, I'm still going to honor you. I'm still going to be my best. When God sees that you don't have to have it, many times like Him, God will give you back what you were willing to give up. Are you living frustrated because your prayers aren't being answered the way you want? Your plans aren't working out? Take the pressure off. God is in control. He knows what's best for you. You're not always going to understand it. If you did, it wouldn't take any faith. I'm asking you to trust Him unconditionally. If you'll do this, I believe and declare God is going to work out His plan for your life. He's going to open the right doors, bring the right people, turn negative situations around, and take you to the fullness of your destiny.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
All right, here we go. We are looking at the seventh instruction, and it is outside the people of God, you must not take part. We've already gone through several of the verses, Deuteronomy 7 through 1, chapter 7, 1 through 4. We're on verse 3. And this is what verse 3 says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not be given unto his son, and your daughter shall not be given unto their son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. And that is what happened to Solomon, if you will. That he had so many wives that they turned him away from God. So you can see that this is critical to the Israelites, to the point where God ordered the Israelites to actually destroy the other peoples that were in the land of milk in Canaan. Now what we're going to go to is our complement, and we're going to see what the New Testament tells us to connect this dot and how critical this is. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and verse 15. And this is what 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says. This is Paul telling us. Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So we are still given some stern instructions by Paul, but not to the extent that we should destroy anyone. That is not for us to do, because that is not what God has relegated us to do. He relegated the Israelites to destroy those people that were in the land of milk and butter and honey in Canaan. But today in our world, we're supposed to live with them, but we're not supposed to take part in what they take part in. That's significant. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we have to be careful who we associate with, because we will lose out on our blessings from God. And that is a way that you can tell if your association with others outside of Christianity is causing you to lose out on your blessings. Because Jesus told us that he would not leave us comfortless, and that he would send us another comforter. And that comforter gives us the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace. And if you're not enjoying that in abundance, because Christ said, hereby is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, that will tell us that we are, maybe our association is too one-sided with those who are outside of Christianity. What we should be doing is sharing with those who are outside of Christianity the words of Jesus Christ to bring them into Christianity. So that is what this instruction should mean to us. And now what we're going to do, we're going to preview what we're going to be into in our next session next Wednesday. We're going to be looking at what Moses teaches Israel, these commandments. In fact, the facts that Israel had to know, that's going to be part of the lesson. And Moses identifying to Israel one by one what they must do to satisfy God. That's going to be very significant. We'll be looking at the way you are to humble and prove yourself by God. And we'll be looking at do not forget the Lord thy God, and righteousness and wickedness will be defined. We will also look at the tribe of Levi being to God exclusively as the Christians belong to Jesus Christ. That's something that we have to realize, that we are priests of God through Jesus Christ, and that we, just like the Levites, are responsible for the servicing of godliness. And that's one reason why we probably were not given orders to destroy, but to go out and to preach and teach and baptize. That's what our Great Commission is. We'll be looking at the blessings and the curses that we are under to this day, but more especially what Israel was under during that time frame. And we'll look at when you cross over the River Jordan, no looking back. Remember, Jesus said it well when he said, a man that puts his hand to the plow, if he looks back, he's unworthy of the kingdom. And then we'll finally look at thou shalt love the Lord thy God unto death. And that's still the truth today, that is what Jesus identified as the greatest commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And that is what we're going to be going through in our next session. And now what I'll do is quickly review take a review of what we went through today. What must we do this side of the Jordan River? We know that Israel was told what they had to do, and we know what we must do this side of eternity. We must obey Christ, because Christ is the one that has all the power in heaven and in earth today. And only possess that which I tell you. Jesus says, through patience possess ye your soul. So we know that that is critical, that what we are to do is spiritual and not physical. Jesus said that it is the flesh profited nothing. It's the spirit that profited. The next instruction, number three, said disobedience to God causes us to lose out. And we know how critical that is. If you are lacking, if you are flailing in your life, you have to look at the obedience that you are submitting yourself to in the Christian faith. Because, again, Jesus is the one that is giving us the details of what we must do. And he identified those attributes, those five or those eight beatitudes or nine beatitudes. If we are adhering to that and the other teachings of Jesus, then we should be receiving the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit that proves to us that we are good.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.